kichi, iti, kipi. That sounds like kiwi or Maori, but that's not. That's an Indian word. Kiti, iti, kipi. It's an American Indian Obicha name for an unbelievable, beautiful spot in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. It's a natural spring. And I've been there. You can go on a little platform into the middle of it. You pull yourself across it. It's about 14 meters deep. And every second, 60,000 liters are coming out of that spring. It's done that as long as mankind is aware of it. The Indians call that with this fancy name. But that name means the mirror of heaven. And as you peer in those crystal waters, it's always changing. The scene, the shapes, the colors. It's magnificent. I stood there sometimes for an hour, just watching. And just constantly, the flow of water changes the contours and the colors. And crystal clear water comes out of that fountain for decades, centuries. Kichi iti kipi. Jesus Christ. That sounds a lot more familiar, doesn't it? It's like the mirror of heaven. The deeper you look into that mirror of that person, never is the same. The longer you look on that mirror of heaven, Jesus Christ, the more you see. And the glory of that mirror of heaven, Paul captured in 2 Corinthians 4, where he says in verse 6, that the glorious gospel of Christ, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Yeah? So when we see the face of Jesus Christ, you look at the Gospels. Right? You see Him as He walks and talks and acts, and as He loves and gives and ministers. You see the face of Him. The passage that we are looking at tonight is unique in the entire Bible. We will look here into the depth of the heart of Christ prior to His coming to the earth in order to make His journey to the cross. That's a real mirror of heaven. And I pray tonight as we peer upon this mirror. No scripture. That as we peer upon this scripture, we may see new glories, new depths. And with God's help this evening, we'll make a start and hopefully finish it next week, Sunday morning, the Lord willing, and we live. But like I said, this is an in-depth view of Christ. Let's read it together from verses 5 through 8. Just those four verses. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8. Let His mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But He made Himself of no reputation. And He took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. And He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now notice, in this verse, in verses 5 and 6 and 7a, that predates his coming. It is in verse 7b that we move to the earthly scene. So in the verses 6 and 7 particularly, we are in the heavenly scene. He is in the form of God, and he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and then comes the incarnation. Now, 7a is already a little part of it too, as well, as we will see together, as we deepen out the meaning of that verse. Now, context is important, right? So let's ask ourselves, why is Paul moving from verse 4 to verse 5? That's a challenge for all of us who are reading from one section to the next section. What's the connection, the context? Now, Paul is here not just interested in advancing our understanding of Christ. That's beautiful. And I hope it will be tonight. He's not here just to satisfy a curiosity or so about what was it in his mind. No. The word that comes to my mind here, what the Holy Spirit is intending in this passage, is reformation. We've just come out of verse 4, 3, 2. Can you look back there for a moment? That's what we looked at last week. Paul says, fulfill my joy, be like-minded, have the same love, be of one accord, one mind. Don't do anything through strife and vain ambition, but in lowliness of mind, esteem each other better than themselves. And brothers, don't just only look at yourself. Look at everyone else's matters as well. And then he goes on to Christ. Verses 5 to 8 are meant to stir up all the saints and all the servants to live out what verses 2, 3, 4 has been telling us. And if I may page you back one more page, it is actually still expounding verse 1, chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it is becoming of the gospel of Christ, brethren out there in Philippi. Please consider, how will you live this life of the gospel? Let this mind be in you. Live this life worthy of the gospel. So Paul is using Jesus as an example. He is. Jesus as a stirring example. And Jesus himself gives us the permission to do that. In Matthew 11 he says, learn of me. Learn of me. I am lowly and meek of heart. Learn of me. Be like me. Yeah, he's telling us to look at him to see what we are to be like. In John 13, when he has just washed his disciples' feet, he says, I've given you an example. Do as I have done. Yeah, be like me. Peter says, he has suffered for us, leaving us an example how to suffer. So constantly, the scripture is setting Christ before us as an example. And not only does he set Christ before us as an example, notice the rest of the chapter we didn't read yet, but in verse 10, he sets Timothy in front of us. I have nobody like-minded. Now, we're going to learn about Timothy. And then in verse 25, he marshals out another saint, Epaphroditus. This whole chapter is filled with examples for us to emulate, for us to follow. And if we do, we will be living out verses 2, 3, and 4. You see the connection? Now, let's focus now our thoughts on verses 4, 5, 6, 7, 5 to 8. And I would theme it the glory of the mind of Jesus Christ. And this evening, let's just look at the first one. Ready to forego his own glory. And then we'll look at the second. He's ready to humble himself. And thirdly, he's ready to fulfill the servant's task. Now he came and took the form of a servant, and so on. So, the text begins tonight, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. was. When? Is it no more? Of course it is. Now Paul is referring to a moment in the past. When? When he was born in Bethlehem?
No.
Before that. Before he came to earth. Maybe even before the creation of the world. Because the whole of the scheme of redemption is in the mind of God before he created anything. So let his mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And what was his mind? There was a readiness and a willingness to put himself aside entirely. His mind of Christ was, I put myself out of the picture. Totally. That is the mind of Christ. The mind here stands for his entire being, of course. The mind stands here for his thinking, for his desiring, for his willing. And it was in his mind by a deliberate choice to let go of his glory. No, not of his divinity. That's impossible. Children, Jesus never put down his Godhead. Yeah, even though he came as a weak man, needy and tired and hungry and so on, never did he take out his divinity. That's not ever gone. Yeah, well, look at these verses in detail. But he let go of his glory. He let go of his position. He let go of his honor as the Son of God. That is the mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you now look back at verse 2 and 3 and 4, you see the connection. When I have to humble myself, that doesn't begin with my knees. That begins with my mind. When I have to do things in lowliness of mind, it doesn't begin with my sense of ability. It begins with my mind. When I need to esteem someone better than me, I have to think about him and evaluate him with my mind. It's all mind. And so here when Paul says, let his mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, he wants us to think through Jesus' mind. And look at the people around you. In church, outside church. Through the mind of Jesus Christ. And then things are going to really happen when that happens. Well, what does that now mean? Let's look at this glorious mind of Jesus as it is very sharply outlined in verse 6 and 7. I was trying to picture in my mind what verse 6 and 7 does. And maybe this is an easy picture for you to understand, children. The big picture is the mind of Jesus. And what now Paul does in verse 6 and 7, he put a lens in front of it. A magnifying lens. And then he puts another lens in front of it. Another bigger depth. And another lens, you get a real inside picture. So it's like he's magnifying the mind of Christ in verse 6 and 7. And every line that he adds is a deeper picture into this mind of Christ. And mind you, I have to remind you again, this was not the mind of Christ when he's born in Bethlehem and he walked the streets, same mind. But he's describing about the mind that was in him when he was with his Father. In the glory of heaven, in the eternal dwelling place where he was with his Father. So, let's look at verse 6a then. Let his mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God. He was in the form of God. I'm not going to tire you with too many details about the Greek. But you notice in verse 7, we have again the word form. But it's a different word. We'll come to that next week in the Greek. This form in verse 6 is a unique word. It's a word that speaks about something he possessed inwardly and showed outwardly. inwardly and outwardly, he possessed the nature of God himself. Now he is in the form of God. He is God himself. As much as the Father, as much as the Spirit, so is the Son, God. And as we hear about Jesus Christ walking on earth, we are seeing God walking on earth. Colossians chapter 1. Let me give you a couple of verses to back that up. Chapter 1, verse 15. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the image of the invisible God. I can't see God, children. He's invisible. But he became visible to us in Jesus Christ. As I see the picture, and I read the story, and I see the actions, and I now even a little deeper look into the mind of Jesus, I'm looking in the mirror. The deep reality of God. Not the mirror, but I was thinking about that deep well, that mirror of heaven that I started with. Yeah? Jesus is that deep reflection of God. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 also so brilliantly puts that. He has come in his Son, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. The word express is mirror-like image. Yeah, when we see Christ, we look at the mirror reflection of who God is. Now, that's all words, of course, that try to explain to us the glory of Christ. The glory of this man who finally hangs on the cross, as we will see next week in the second part of this sermon. Now let's go to 6b then. Not only the mind of Christ, not only was he in the form of God, no, then we come to the next lens. As it were, Paul says, look, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. A very difficult verse. And as you go to the commentators, you'll find everyone is struggling to find how to translate it. So, being just a student of all kinds of other scholars, I'll just reflect on you what I find indeed to be the most thorough explanation. Now the word robbery, that sounds strange to us. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. If I would really easily paraphrase it, when Jesus would say, I am God, he's not stealing anything. It's not robbery. That's how we would understand the verse. But that's really actually not quite what it means. It goes much deeper than that. Because remember, this is not speaking about Christ on earth. This is speaking about the mind of Christ in heaven, before he came to earth. So, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, is having this depth to it. He did not consider his existence, which is equal to God, something to cling to, like a robber clings to what he has conquered. Yeah, to paraphrase it in simple words, Jesus didn't think, mind, since I am God, I will not give up this honor. Since I am God, I will not give up this position. Since I am God, I will not give up my possession of equality with the Father that I have here. No, that's not what's in his mind. His mind was, Father, thy will is my delight. And if thy will is that I need to lay down, as it were, myself, and if I need to hide my glory, and if I need to wrap myself with human nature to look like a man, to look like a servant, to look like a slave. And if I need to do the work of a slave, I will not cling to my status, but I will give it up. I will readily let it go. I will not cling to my equality that I have with thee. He didn't protest. He didn't resist his father's command by clinging tightly to his glory, though he'd have a right to it, because he's God, as much as the Father. And when in the eternal covenant making, the Father gives him the commandment to enter into humanity, he didn't cling to his place of glory and comfort and delight. And one of the most brilliant illustrations of this is John 13, where you see it acted out. And John has captured that. He who was come from God and who is going to God. You go read it yourself again. He loved him to the end, to the utmost. And what did he do? Picture that. He laid out his, he took off his beautiful coat, and he laid it on a chair, or wherever, and he put on a towel. And now instead of Master Jesus, we have Servant Jesus. That's the mind of Christ. And may I remind you to verse 2 and 3 and 4? There are some people in the church. There are some needy people next to you. There are some children in the family that have gifts. And don't look on your own. Be humble. Let this mind of Christ be in you. Yeah? Let that mind move you. Let that be the mind by which we look. How will you react when God commands you to let go of your selfish ambition? What if God comes into your life tomorrow and says, look, I want you to fold up this whole plan. I have a different plan for you. Now, what will you do? What if God says, I want you to go do that, but Lord, what are they going to say about me? What about my reputation? Was he concerned about that? Was Christ concerned about how people thought about him? No. He's only concerned about doing his Father's will, even though it would cost him his reputation. Friend of sinners, friend of publicans, wine bibber, blasphemer. He's ready. His mind was ready to let go of all. Is that what we will do? When he asks us to wash each other's feet? When he's asking you to be the least? When he's asking us to humble ourselves and to sacrifice our agenda or our sleep or our extra? Are we having the mind of Jesus? Now, one more phrase, verse 7. One more lens, I should say. Yeah? Form of God, not robbery to be equal with God. And then he made himself of no reputation. Literally, he brought himself to nothing. Sometimes translated by, he emptied himself. Now, he emptied himself of all the glory that he's entitled to. And I think that perhaps Paul is here thinking about that moment that he hangs naked and disgraced and shamed on the cross. He emptied himself. Totally. That was a deliberate choice. In the Greek, the word order is slightly different than our English. It says in Greek, himself made of no reputation. Now, that doesn't make any sense in English, I understand. But in Greek, that means the emphasis on himself. Nobody forced him. Nobody told him, yeah, the Father commanded him, but he did it voluntarily. He emptied himself voluntarily and concealed his glory, wrapped himself up in the form of a servant, in the fashion of a man. Well, those are the three lenses that this evening we are looking at. This mirror. This deep insight in the mind of Christ. Let's pause to sing together. Psalm 62, verse 1 to 4. The man that fears the Lord, God's way shall understand. His soul shall ever dwell at ease. His children rule the land. Psalm 62, verse 1 to 4. Let his mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form, in the essence and in the glory of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now didn't grasp and cling to the equality with God, but instead he made himself no reputation. You know, to appreciate the depth of the mind of Christ, contrasted for a moment to the mind of us, mankind. And picture for a moment in your mind Adam, and Eve, made in the image of God, made in the reflection of God as far as we humans can be. Instead of humbly serving Him and being content with what we've gotten, we breached the boundary and we grasped for the glory. And in the doing that, we perished. As it always will happen. As history will tell us about Peter, she's grasping for glory. And he perished. It's always what we will do. And we grasp for the greatness. And as Adam exploited his position to become more, he fell, and we with him. And then we look at the mind of Christ. He who was God in every aspect, he did the exact opposite. His mind was to humble himself and to lay aside all glory and to deliberately set himself on the path of self-denial. He didn't cling to his position. He didn't cling to his entitlement. He didn't cling to his glory. He was ready to let it go. And where the first Adam reached out after life, but laid hold of that, the Lord of glory turned his back on life and voluntarily laid hold of death. That's the mind of Christ. And in doing that, he has prepared the way for life again. So let's reflect on this for a moment as we come to our conclusion here. What does God now call his servants and his saints here and everywhere where we're listening? What does he call us to be like and to do like? What is plain from verse 5? Let this mind be in you. So what will guide us in our choices? What will be the effective principle by which we're living? Are we thinking, how can I advantage myself? That's not the mind of Jesus. How can I protect myself? That's also not my name, my reputation, and my comfort, and my status, and my importance. That's not the mind of Jesus. I'm going to fight for my positions and for my name and for my honor, and that everyone will respect me. Well, you may, but do we need to do that at the expense of sacrifice? See, that's not the mind of Jesus. Let his mind be in you, brethren out there in Philippi. You know, Paul was struggling with this church as they are having some issues of disunity and inner competition. Are we having the mind of Christ? Will we deliberately and decisively and patiently follow the way of the Master who constantly kept rejecting self? Now that's the mind of Jesus. It's not about me. About I. And about myself. It's about my Father. It's about the glory of God. And it's about my neighbor. Friend and foe. That's the mind of Christ, congregation. And God's purpose this evening for calling us to look into this well of the mind of Jesus has one purpose: change. You and I need to change. I need change, you need change. The whole purpose of God's salvation work is change. Change from sinner to saint. A change from slave of Satan to a servant of Jesus Christ and His holiness. It is changing that He's in doing. He's in a work of changing people. Now you know, as well as I know, that change, that is hard. Sometimes change is scary. Change is something that we sometimes resist because it goes against ourselves and it goes against my fear. But my dear congregation, in Christ's kingdom, it's not about how do you feel about this. It's not about, say, are you open to this idea of esteeming other better than yourself? How does that feel to you to humble yourself and to give up your vainglory project and to give your life in the service of the King? It's not up for debate. It's not up for discussion. Let this mind be in you. He didn't sit there debating with his father. He didn't sit there, well, no, he was obedient. And we'll look at that next week Sunday. The one word that characterizes Jesus Christ from the eternity unto the moment that he ascends up to heaven is obedience. Always obedient. In Christ's kingdom, friends, it is thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I cannot better but quote the Catechism Answer 124 on that particular Lord's Day petition. What does it mean? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will. That's the mind of Christ. And that we may without murmuring obey thy will. That's the mind of Christ again, which is only good. And so that everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and as faithfully as the angels do in heaven. Sometimes that means that I have to uproot my comfortable gourd that I am shading myself with and leave into the area of ministry. Sometimes that means I have to give up a position of prestige and take a broomstick in my hand or a towel and wash the feet of the disciples. I think it's John Newton who said, there's more angels sweeping the street than you realize. Now, I don't know how he got to that, but I think the point he was trying to make is, do not only think that angels are doing only glorious things, they're doing the menial things. They serve God's servants. And they do that willingly and joyfully with the mind of serving. So please don't look at this evening as a must for you. I must do this, I must do this. I find it a privilege to serve the King. I find it a privilege to be involved in the ministry of God's kingdom. Do I always find such a mind of Christ in me? No, I don't. I fight with what you fight with. There's two minds in me. Therefore, I need to listen to this exhortation. Let this mind of Christ be in me. I must not let the mind of my flesh guide me. But I find it a tremendous privilege to serve this King. And so what does a changed and a worthy life of Christ's life like look like? Now let me conclude with three things. It begins with thinking differently. Our text suggests that. Let this mind be in you. Begin to think differently. Pray that you may look through Christ's mind at any call, any situation that is placed before us. Pray at that moment, Lord, let me look through thy eyes at this situation. And thy mind have power over me to think this through the eyes and the mindset of Christ. It's amazing what happens then. then you're not thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about you getting dirty. You're not thinking about your reputation, what people say. You're not thinking about your agenda necessarily anymore. You don't think about your tiredness anymore. You don't think about it anymore. You think about what is the mind of Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul was like. Secondly, it will also sometimes mean you have to leave your comfort zone. Remember what our text said? That first lens, the form of God. The second, he didn't cling to the glory of God. And the third lens, he emptied himself. Are you ready to do that for Christ? To leave our comfort zone? Christ came from heaven to earth. He left God's glory to live on the level of sinful worlds. No sin himself, but he touched every aspect of this wounded, bleeding, sinful, suffering world. I'm afflicted with all your afflictions, he says. Are we ready for that? That's what Timothy did. We'll see in a moment. That's what Epaphroditus did. Went all the way to Rome. Don't mind you, that was a dangerous journey. But he went all the way there, leave maybe family behind. Whatever it was, we don't know. But his brother and his companion and his fellow soldier, he just about died in doing the ministry to Paul. That's the mind of Christ. And thirdly, in all the situations, in all the things we face, let's ask ourselves much more this question. What would Jesus do? It's such a simple question to ask, but it's a really hard one to answer. Well, maybe I should say it differently. It's not such a hard one to answer, it's a hard one to do. What would Jesus do? Ask us. Pray that the Lord may stamp that question on your mind. That every time we meet something, what would Jesus do? Children in school? Someone is just moving a little note to you. Maybe he's asking for an answer to cheat on the test. Or maybe he's writing something nasty about so-and-so. What would Jesus do? Ask that question. Children, you see someone in the playground and he's standing alone or she's alone or being teased and some kids are banging up on that one. What would Jesus do? That's the mind of Christ. Pray that you have that mindset. Would Jesus tease? Would Jesus stand aside? Would Jesus say, I just pretend I don't see that? What would Jesus say?
Hey, quit that. Because that's not on.
That's the mind of Jesus. Now, when you're asked to do a chore, you're just laying on your couch nice and lazy. And you have to do a chore that's even a smelly one. And your mom calls or dad calls or somebody calls. And what would Jesus do? When Mary called him. When Joseph said, will you please do this for me? The mind of Jesus. This is what Christianity is, congregation. It's not about doctrines. It's not about having all the dots and the I's and the T's crossed on doctrinal precision. No, the mind of Jesus is the life of Jesus. It's the walking and the talking and the sharing. Yeah, that is what the mind of Christ is. When you see or you know someone is lonely, someone is excluded, someone is judged, what would Jesus do? Someone has really messed up, made some really bad choices, has really, really brought all kinds of bad stuff on their own life. Drop them? What would Jesus do? Amazing grace, right? To the guilty and mercy to the filthy. What would Jesus do? Let his mind be in you. Now, let's conclude if the mind of Jesus is not you, is not in you, then what mind is in you? There's no vacuum. If this mind of Christ is not ours, there is the mind of sin and Satan that's ours. And there is nothing to be gained. Children, as you're reading the history today of the world that our grandfathers and mothers would read about World War II, Hitler, that was not the mind of Christ. Putin, it's not the mind of Christ either. The life is destroyed. And you see that over and over, also in smaller ways, in classroom, in friendships, in families. The mind of Christ. Let's pray for that. Amen. Oh, blessed Lord. This is so deep and so confronting and yet so adoring. The mind of Jesus. Lord, we can only stammer about what the apostle here has set out by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, undoubtedly. And as we have tried to understand something of it, we are the loss of words, O Lord Jesus, to adore thee for thy mind, by which thou made thyself of no reputation. And as we will see, thou took upon thyself the form of a servant, the likeness of men. Lord, please, will thou bless these words, will thou give the fruit of it in our heart, will thou give that the mind of Christ becomes ours, and that thou would stamp upon our mind, Lord, the question, what would Jesus do? Oh, blessed God, bless all thy saints and servants to be like Timothy and Epaphroditus and Paul and so many others. And yet thou also knows, Lord, what limits we have. And the struggle that we sometimes have in how much can we continue to give without exhausting and emptying ourselves of any strength to do more. And these are the questions that we may also lay before thee. Paul could say, Lord, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Oh, may that strength be also experienced. Go with us now, Lord God, in this week that we have begun. And bless thou us with our families, with our children, in our work, in our studies at uni or at home or at school. Bless thou the teaching of our children, Lord, by all the teachers, and on us the stress with all the absentees that is still experienced as well. Although, bless the Bible studies that will take place, the prayer fellowship on Wednesday. Bless also our consistory meeting on Tuesday, Lord, and as this is always a month in which we deliberate together about the new office bearers and the men's membership meeting, we just ask thee to help us and to give us the wisdom together to lead our church according to thy word and will. So forgive us our sins that cleave to everything we did and do, and hear us in Jesus' name. Amen.